بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الإسلام. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما إليك وما أنزل من قبلك بالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وهذا كتاب أنزلناه مبارك فاتبعوه واتقوا لعلكم ترحمون صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى only through his infinite grace and mercy granted me the tawfiq to recite a verse from the ultimate book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorious Quran, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ, this book, أَنزَلْنَاهُ, we have revealed it, إِلَيْكَ, to you, مُبَارَك, and this book that we have revealed to you is a blessed book. It is full of barakah, full of blessings. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, so carry out the dues of this book. وَاتَّقُوا, and abstain from the don'ts of this book. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that you may be showered with mercy by the Creator. It is a short verse from the glorious Quran, but a very comprehensive verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the revealer of this book is none other than me. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has revealed this book. So this is the greatest virtue of this book, that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has revealed it. And it is not only the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not only the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is also the kalam and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a great virtue for this book that it is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah himself has revealed this book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this book through the medium of Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, who is the best of the malaika. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكُ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ. It is a ruhul ameen. It is Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam who has descended from the heavens upon your heart with this book. So it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the medium of Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, who is the best of the angels. And it was revealed upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal the glorious Quran to Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, or Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, or Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, or Dawud alayhi salatu wassalam, or Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, or Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. These were great prophets, great anbiya, great mursaleen sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Sayyidul Mursaleen for the revelation of this great book. Dawud alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, these anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam were not insignificant. The anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam are the cream of humanity. They were all masoom, very close servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the chosen ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal a single verse of the glorious Quran to any of these anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of the Mursaleen, Khuda se to kam aur sab se ala, below Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above everyone. This is the status of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that he is below Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above everyone, below none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only below Allah. So below Allah only and above everyone. Khuda se to kam aur sab se ala, do alam se bala hamari Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In this world and in the hereafter, there is no one in the whole universe after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is more virtuous than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come with revelation not only to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, but to all the approximately 124,000 anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. So he had seen each and every Nabi from a very close distance. Our Nabi Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam had seen every Nabi from a very close distance.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam certain specialities. One day he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, قَلَّبْتُ مَشَارِكَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. I have turned upside down the easts of this earth and the wests of this earth. The reference he was making was that I have seen each and every human from a very close distance, especially the cream of humanity, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. And after observing all of them, what is my conclusion? He said, فَلَمْ أَرَى رَجُلًا أَفْضَلَ مِن مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam says that I have not seen anyone more virtuous than you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So this is a great virtue for the Quran, that it is the book of Allah, it is the word of Allah, it is Allah who has revealed it, and Allah has revealed it through the medium of the best of the angels, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it to the best of his creation. Sayyidul Mursaleen, Imamul Muttaqeen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best of the places, Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best of the months, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. The month of Ramadan is that month in which the Quran was revealed. And from amongst the days and the nights of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the night of Qadr for its initial revelation. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil Qadr. We have revealed it during the night of Qadr. So one can very easily understand the position and the status of this great book that is under discussion, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quranul Majid, the Furqanul Hamid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the book I have revealed is Kitabun Mubarakun. It is a blessed book. So the book is very blessed. I am the revealer to whom it was revealed is none other than the Sayyidul Mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this is the introduction of the book. In the initial verse of this glorious Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has introduced this book to us. The Kitabun Mubarak, it is a Mubarak Kitab, it is a blessed Kitab. Anzalnahu, it is I who have revealed it, and to whom was it revealed? To you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the objective of this book, the purpose of this book. Why did I reveal this book? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the objective and the purpose of revealing this book is so that you may read the book, you may understand the book, and after reading and understanding the book, you may carry out the do's and you may abstain from the don'ts. فَاتَّبِعُوا وَاتَّقُوا. Carry out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory, carry it out. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory, carry it out. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made virtuous, it may not be compulsory, it may not be obligatory, it may fall within the category of something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, something which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may be an optional deed, but it is a do. So carry out the do's. In every circumstance, carry out the do's belonging to the faraiz and the wajibat. And those dues that belong to the sunan, the mustahabbat and the nawafil, one should try to carry them out also to the best of one's ability. فَاتَّبِعُوا وَاتَّقُوا and abstain from the don'ts. If the don'ts fall within the category of haram and makruhate tahrimiyya, you must abstain without fail. And if it falls within the category of makruhate tanzihiyya, you must try your utmost to abstain from it. The glorious Quran is the foundation. And the commentary of the glorious Quran, the first commentary, is the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had two responsibilities. One responsibility was to convey the words of the Quran as it was revealed to him. And the second responsibility was to teach the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in the correct interpretation of the tafsir, the correct interpretation of the glorious Quran. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's responsibility was not only one, that convey the words of the Quran and leave it to the Ummah to interpret the Quran as they wish. No. He had two responsibilities. One responsibility was to make sure that each and every word that is conveyed to him by Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam is preserved meticulously. And thereafter he was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a form of wahy, with the tafsir of the Quran. And it was his responsibility to either verbally or practically give the tafsir of the verses of the Quran. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam accomplished this mission. He conveyed each and every word of the Quran to the Ummah. And when he left this world, he left behind 10,000 huffaz, alhamdulillah. Within a span of 23 years, 10,000 sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain memorized the whole Quran. And it was revealed gradually. So when he left this world, he left behind 10,000 huffaz. And as far as the second responsibility was concerned, the commentary of the Quran, the interpretation of the Quran, exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired him through his words and through his actions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam conveyed the tafsir and the interpretation of the Quran also. And from the Quran and from the first tafsir of the Quran ahadith, the ulama have continuously till today deduced injunctions of our deen, and they have been guiding us until today, and inshallah they will continue to guide us until the day of Qiyamah. So it is not for any Zaid, Amr and Bakr to just pick up the Quran and either read the text of the Quran if he is familiar with the Arabic language, or read the translation of the Quran if he is not familiar with the Arabic text, and give his own interpretation. No. No, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has given very severe warnings in this regard. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qala fil Quran bi ra'yihi fa asaba faqad akhta. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one who gives interpretation of any verse of the Quran with his own opinion. So with his own opinion means without keeping the principles of interpreting the glorious Quran. The ulama have stated that a person is in need of 15, 16, 17, 18 sciences of the Quran to become a mufassir. 15, 16, 17, 18 sciences a person is in need of before he can become a mufassir. People like me, who are students, majority of the ulama like me, who are not ulama of a very high caliber, when we sit down to interpret the Quran or impart dars of the Quran, we don't just look at the text of the Quran and come to our own conclusions. We don't read the translation of the Quran and come to our own conclusions. No. We have to refer to the tafasir. The tafasir of the mufassirin. Because I am not a mufassir. And if I am not a mufassir, Sharia does not give me the permission to ponder over the words of the Quran and interpret the Quran. If I ponder over the words of the Quran and if I interpret a particular verse of the Quran without following the set principles, then I am interpreting the Quran with my own opinion. And thereafter, there will be either of two situations. I threw the stone in the dark and it hit the target. That can also happen. That I pick up a verse from the Quran, I ponder over the verse of the Quran, and I may understand it correctly. But without following any principles laid down by the ulama throughout the 14 centuries, from the time of the Sahaba until today, it is from me only. It is my brain, my work. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped me, and the stone that was thrown in the darkness hit the target. And the other situation is that I have thrown the stone in the darkness and it did not hit the target. May Allah safeguard all of us. If I hit the stone in the darkness and do not hit the target, it's very easy for each person to understand what will happen to him in the hereafter. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the person who throws the stone in the darkness and hits the target, he has also made an error. من قال في القرآن برأيه فأصاب فتدخت. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that one who interpreted the Quran with his own opinion without following the principles laid down for the interpretation of the Quran, and he reached the correct conclusion despite that he has made an error. Why? What error has he made? He has made this error, that he should not have interpreted the Quran with his opinion. This is the error he has made. Because this time he was lucky. Next time he may not be lucky. This time he was lucky. Nabi said, next time he may not be. It's like a doctor. He is not a doctor. Somebody who is not a doctor, who does not have a certificate, and he sits in the surgery and he writes a prescription. So he throws the stone in the dark and it hit the target. It hit the target and he cured the patient. Despite that, if somebody was to complain to the authority would say that he has made an error. He is guilty of this crime of treating somebody without authority. So similarly, if somebody interprets the Quran and he is correct in his interpretation, despite that the highest authority will say that he has made an error, because he was not supposed to have interpreted the Quran without the authority. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Allama Qurtubi rahimahullahu ta'ala quotes an incident from his life, that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was once asked regarding a verse of the Quran, that can you please interpret this verse of the Quran for me. Now we are talking about a time where each and every person spoke the Arabic language. So the questioner knows the Arabic language, and the one who is giving the answer also knows the Arabic language. And they knew the Arabic language of the Quran. They were aware of the language of the Quran, the language of the Ahadith, classical Arabic. Despite that, we find during the time of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Sahaba would ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the tafsir of these verses? Sahaba would come come to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, and they would ask, what is the tafsir of these verses? Umar radiallahu anhu would ask the companions, what is the tafsir of these verses? Because there is a set principle for tafsir, and you can only give commentary of the tafsir of the Quran within the boundary that has been laid down and set out. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was asked regarding a tafsir of a particular verse of the Quran, and at that precise moment, keeping the boundary in mind, no tafsir came to the mind of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He could not remember what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, but he could not remember the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the background of this verse. He could not remember at that precise moment. So he did not ponder over the verse of the Quran and throw the stone in the dark. No, he did not do that. What did he say? What did Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu say? He said that you are asking me regarding the interpretation of a particular verse of the Quran, and I have thought about it, pondered over it, but I cannot remember that tafsir which is within that boundary. And I know the Arabic language, so I can interpret it for you from my opinion. But if I do that, he said, Ayyu samain tudilluni wa ayyu ardin tuqilluni idha ana qultu fi kitabillahi ma la alam. He said that which heaven will give me shade and which earth will give me refuge from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I was to say something regarding any part of the Quran that I am not aware of. He said, no, I cannot make any comment. Ask others who have ilm. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had two responsibilities, my friends. One is to convey the words of the Quran, and second was to convey the tafsir of the Quran. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfilled and completed this mission within the span of 23 years. And the miracle of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in was that whatever was imparted to them within the span of 23 years, they preserved everything. So the miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that in 23 years he conveyed everything, and the miracle of the Sahaba was that they preserved everything. Sometimes we find an alim who is full of knowledge, and he imparts durus on a daily basis, and the students sit in his company for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. In the times before us, during the time of the Tabi'in and the Taba Tabi'in, people would spend not only months but years in the company of their shuyukh and their asatida. But it is not necessary that the student is able to preserve everything that was conveyed to him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself. So everything that was conveyed was preserved. Everything that was conveyed was preserved. And Allahu Akbar, from the Sahaba to the Tabi'in, everything that was conveyed was preserved. And from Tabi'in to Taba Tabi'in, everything that was conveyed was preserved. And until today, each and every word of the Quran is preserved, and each and every commentary is preserved. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. If this Maulana is asked regarding something, he will know the answer. If he doesn't know the answer, he will say, please ask this Maulana. He will know the answer. If he doesn't know the answer, he will say, please ask this Maulana. Somebody somewhere in the world will know. So the whole Sharia, the whole deen has existed on the surface of this earth right from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until today. And the whole deen has existed on the surface of this earth in words, in interpretation, and also in practice. Also in practice. Each and every part of Sharia is being practiced throughout the world. If I am not practicing this Maulana, if I am doing one thing, you will be doing something else. The whole Sharia has been preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The words of the Quran is being preserved by the Huffaz. The correct pronunciation and the correct writing, the writing method is also set by our Sharia. For example, in the Arabic language, if you write Ismail, then you can write it with Meem, Alif, and then Ain and Ya and Lam. And another way of writing is that you join Meem and Ain together and put Khazabar. So the way it was written during the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that very style has remained until today. So the words have been preserved by the Huffaz, the correct pronunciation and the correct writing of the Quran has been preserved by the Qurra. Till today, my friends, just as each and every word is preserved, the correct pronunciation, you will always find a certain Qari or a group of Qurra during the 14th centuries who will be able to recite the Quran exactly the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited. The effect will be different. The effect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is different from the effect of Abu Bakr. The effect of Abu Bakr will differ from the effect of Imam Abu Hanifa. The effect of Imam Abu Hanifa's recitation will differ from us. The effect will differ. But as far as the pronunciation is concerned, there have always been Qurra throughout the 14th centuries who have recited the Quran and who are able to recite Quran even in this day and age exactly the way Jibreel recited to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how Allah is preserving this Quran. And you will always find during 14th centuries ulama who have preserved, either one alim himself or four or five ulama put together, a group of ulama who have preserved the whole Sharia. And this will continue until Allah desires, just before the day of Qiyamah. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Many people tend to think that where Allah says that we have revealed this book and we will preserve it only means we will preserve the words. No, we will preserve this book and anything associated with this book. That includes preservation of the ulama, preservation of the muftis, preservation of the qurra, preservation of the marakis and the centers where ilm is preserved. Allah will preserve everything. Because if madaris do not remain, how will ilm be preserved? If ulama don't remain, how will ilm be preserved? So Quran is being preserved. And the Huffaz of the Quran is a part of this big team that is working. So this is the greatest virtue for the ulama, greatest virtue for the muftis, greatest virtue for the qurra, greatest virtue for the Huffaz, greatest virtue for the madaris, that Allah has taken it upon himself to preserve the Sharia. And he is utilizing this group to preserve the Sharia. Allah is not using the doctors. Allah is not using the engineers. Allah is not using the wealthy people. Allah is not using the kings and the prime ministers and the presidents. Allah is using the ulama and talaba to preserve this deen. Allah has taken it upon himself to feed us. So sometimes he uses our father, our uncle, our friend. So Allah has taken it upon himself to preserve this Quran and everything associated to the Quran. And who is he using? He is using the ulama and the talaba who are learning and teaching. It is for this reason Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explicitly said, "Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allamahu." The best amongst you are those people who learn the Quran and teach the Quran, because they are preserving the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for as long as the deen is preserved, we have a chance of going into Jannah. The day Deen does not remain preserved, we have no chance of going in Jannah, because where do we find the path to Jannah? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed the words and also the tafsir to the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and they have continued. And alhamdulillah, as I said earlier, that the group of Huffaz are a group of this big team that is working. So my friends, we need to experience great happiness upon this news. Wherever we hear, regarding whichever masjid or madrasa we hear, regarding whichever young boy we hear, that alhamdulillah so and so has become hafiz of the Quran. We need to experience happiness. Alhamdulillah so and so has become alim. So and so has become mufassir. So and so has become a mufti. Because for as long as these young boys continue to become huffaz, become ulama, become muftis, it is a good sign that the deen is being preserved. And for as long as deen will remain preserved, this dunya will remain as it is, and we will be able to find ways to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the speciality of our deen. Kyon mumtaz na ho Islam duniya bhar ke deeno mein? The poet is, in the first line, the poet is asking this question to the listeners. Kyon mumtaz na ho Islam duniya bhar ke deeno mein? Why should Islam not be distinguished amongst the religions of the world? Islam has to be distinguished amongst the religions of the world. Why? And then he gives the reason. Kyon mumtaz na ho Islam duniya bhar ke deeno mein? Why should Islam not be distinguished throughout the religions of the world? Wahan mazhab kitabon mein. There the Sharia is in the books. There their Sharia, their deen is in the books. And here, waha mazhab kitabon mein, yahan Quran seeno mein. And here the Sharia is in the hearts of the people. Hearts of the huffaz, hearts of the ulama, hearts of the muftis. Now the likes of our mufti sahab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep his shadow over the ummah for a very long time. Mufti sahib and the likes of mufti sahib, they are walking libraries. So many masail in their hearts. They have to refer to the books also. Because we are humans, we are weak, we have our own weaknesses. But one mufti, the likes of mufti sahib, one mufti will have thousands of masail in his heart and mind. And majority of the time when people refer to such muftis, they will get the answer there and then. They are walking libraries. And it's not a worldly opinion that, okay, this is how I feel, so let me say it. If it's wrong, no problem. If it's right, okay. If it's right, alhamdulillah. If it's wrong, it's his luck. In dunyavi matters, you can do that. In dunyavi matters, you can. And alhamdulillah, these muftis, these ulama, they have taqwa. So when they are questioned, they question themselves first, am I 100% sure? And they will only give the reply if they are 100% sure. So these muftis and these ulama who give us answers whilst walking, whilst in the masjid, whilst in the car park, over the telephone, imagine how many masail Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in their hearts. They are also just like huffaz. A hafiz memorizes approximately 6,000 verses of the Quran. These muftis, they have more than 6,000 masail in their hearts and minds. Even in this day and age, you find muhaddisin, upon hearing the hadith, they will be able to categorize the hadith for you. And we have seen the likes of Sheikh Yunus Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Many of you have seen Sheikh Yunus Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, but I have personally seen him, that after two, three lectures in a jalsa, Hazrat was sitting in the gathering, one alim gave a lecture, a second alim gave a lecture, third alim gave a lecture, and the memory was so powerful. And he was a walking library, he had so much
so much professionalism as far as hadith was concerned, that when his turn came before imparting the verse of Bukhari Sharif, he said, the first speaker, he mentioned this hadith first, this is the grading of that hadith. And thereafter he also mentioned this hadith, this is the grading of this hadith. And then he mentioned this hadith, this is the grading of this hadith. He spoke about the ahadith of the three lecturers. We need to value this great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to value the Quran, we need to value the ahadith, we need to value the sharia, we need to value the fiqh, we need to value the masail, we need to value deen, and value anything associated to deen. We need to value the ulama, we need to value the muftiyan-e-kiram, we need to value the students who are striving. Even in this day and age, leaving your home in the UK, leaving your home and going to the madrasa and following the routine of the madrasa is a very big sacrifice. Very big sacrifice. Very big sacrifice. Because we are not living in 1970s. I have seen 1970s. I was young in 1970s. I was a child in 1970s. In 1970s, people did not have money. So the situation at home was poor as well. And madrasa was poor. But now the situations at home have changed enormously. Enormously. And the situations at madaris has changed. But not to that extent of the home. So the comfort that a young man finds today in his home, he will not find 10% of that comfort in the madrasa. And the greatest thing that the students of madrasa do is that they submit to their teachers. In the final year of the course, we have to complete all the books at the end of the year. So the last 3-4 months are very vital for everybody. So you have to make sure that you complete the syllabus. And in the final year, the students study approximately 40,000 hadiths. And each and every hadith is being read in front of the teacher, so that it links the student with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single hadith is being read. Approximately 40,000 hadiths. So during the last 3-4 months, as you go nearer to Shaban, that is the academic year in the madaris, one teacher will say that from tomorrow I will teach after Maghrib also. Now after Maghrib is your free time. But not a single student will say, no, I am not ready after Maghrib. Even today, alhamdulillah, the mahal, the environment in the madaris is such, the students have so much respect for their teachers that the teachers don't have to make mashwara. That I want to teach tomorrow after Maghrib, are you ready? No, he will just say that from tomorrow, inshallah, I will teach from Maghrib to Isha. And maybe after a week, another teacher will say that we are falling behind, from tomorrow, I will teach after Isha until 12 o'clock. But not a single student will say, Hazrat, somebody is already teaching us from Maghrib to Isha. I remember in my final year, we used to start after Fajr. I graduated in June, July. So we used to start after Fajr. Fajr used to take place at 4:15. And we used to finish at 8 o'clock. From 4:15 until 8 o'clock, the lessons used to take place. In between, lunch, tea, lunch and tea only. And as far as breakfast was concerned, our respective teacher would start immediately after Fajr. And around 6:30, 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, two students would enter the classroom, one with bucket full of tea and the other with biscuits, and we were instructed to come into the class with empty mugs, and there in front of the teacher we would be given a cup of tea and biscuit and we would quickly have our breakfast. But we would feel happy that alhamdulillah, no, I can't miss my lesson, I can't miss my lesson. You will find students even in this day and age who would not miss a single hadith and who would study every hadith with wudu. So So friends, we need to value such institutions, we need to value such students. These students who have graduated here today in this masjid, I presume they are full-time students of school and colleges. So they wake up in the morning, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, they learn their lessons and then they go to school until 3, 4 o'clock, they return and perform wuzu, quickly sit down to prepare the lesson again and come to the madrasa. By the time they finish from the madrasa, it is 7, 8 o'clock. By the time they eat, it's 9 o'clock. They immediately sit down to do homework for the following day. Ask those parents whose sons have become huffaz or whose sons are becoming hafiz of the Quran. And there are parents who are not so religious and they feel sorry for their child and they say to the child that, "My son, this is too much for you, leave Hibs class." Because the secular education is more important. They can see the benefits of secular education. But people cannot see the benefit of the Dini education. Because it is hidden benefit. Despite the parents saying that, "Son, this is too much." I know because I run a madrasa. I know parents who have come to me and said that, "Can you please have mercy on him and tell him something. It's very hard for him, 24 hours. I cannot see him go through that." But the child says, "No, I want to become hafiz of the Quran. I want to become hafiz of the Quran." Who is putting this love for the Quran in their hearts? It is Allah, because Allah is preserving the Quran in this manner. Musalmano na ghabrao, khuda ki shan baki hai. Musalmano na ghabrao, khuda ki shan baki hai. Abhi Islam zinda hai, abhi Quran baki hai. Islam is thriving and alive. Quran is thriving and alive. If we want to thrive and if we want to remain alive as well, all we need to do is connect ourselves to the Quran. Connect ourselves to Islam. I always tell people, don't worry about Islam. Don't worry about Quran. And don't worry about the dignity and honor of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People worry about dignity and honor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What will happen? Somebody is publishing a cartoon, somebody is publishing an essay, somebody is publishing an article. So I said, don't worry about his honor. The one who has been given honor by Ahkamul Hakimin, why worry about his honor? There are only two names that continue to ring into the ears of the people throughout the 24 hours. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has set the times of Salat in such a way that you will not find a single moment where on the surface of this earth somebody is not saying Shahadu an la ilaha illallah or Shahadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. 24 hours somewhere on this earth is saying Shahadu an la ilaha illallah, Shahadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Don't worry about his honor. Don't worry about Islam. Nothing will happen to Islam. Don't worry about Quran. Nothing will happen to Quran. Worry about yourself. Think about yourself. How much are you connected to the Quran? How much are you connected to Islam? How much are you connected to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So let us go with this firm resolution, my friends, that we will connect ourselves to this great book and we will carry out all the do's, abstain from all the don'ts. We will read the Quran on a regular basis daily, inshallah. And we will sit in the company of the ulama in the durus of the Quran and understand the message of the Quran. And thereafter, the do's we will carry out, don'ts we will abstain from. If we do this, this is the mission of the Quran, this is the purpose of the Quran, this is the objective of the Quran. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what will you get? So Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Allah says that I will shower mercy upon you in this world. If you do this in this world, I will shower mercy upon you at the time of death. I will shower mercy upon you in the grave. I will shower mercy upon you on the day of Qiyamah. I will shower mercy upon you on the Pul Sirat, the bridge of Sirat. And I will shower mercy upon you in Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen was salatu was salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى. اللهم انا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر الى وجهك والشوق الى لقائك. اللهم انا نعوذ بك من ضراء مضرة ومن فتنة مضلة. اللهم انا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم انا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم انا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم افتح لنا ابواب رحمتك. اللهم انا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا اماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب غمومنا وهمومنا وقائدنا وسائقنا إلى جنات النعيم. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن أوليائك المقربين الصديقين ومن خدام دينك وأشاقك وأشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين. يا عليم علمنا ما لم نكن نعلم يا عليم. اللهم يا عليم علمنا ما لم نكن نعلم يا عليم. اللهم يا عليم علمنا ما لم نكن نعلم يا عليم. اللهم انا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا مقبولا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم انا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشى ومن دعاء لا يسمع ومن نفس لا تشبع. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين.